The lines are open. 1-300-872-911. John McKenzie. Real music, real opinions. 4CA.
Well, 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 look at the headlines. More than a million sandbags fortify southeast Queensland as the region prepares for a metre of rain. Ready or not, here he comes. Now, I've got to say too, I'm just looking at this presentation in the Courier Mail today, the effort on television, going through the details of our Premier David Crisafulli was outstanding yesterday afternoon and last night. I've got to say, the fact that he's at North Queensland, born North Queenslander, I think probably helps him understand the gravity of the situation. His delivery of the message was really clear. It was well spaced, obviously based on an understanding of the level of danger here. So there was a gravity in his voice that was being transmitted every time he went before the cameras. And there were quite a few events there yesterday. Who did we see on the screen? It was our state leader. So, and he's only been there 5 minutes. He was doing an excellent job. Now, here's what it read in the Courier this morning. Southeast Queenslanders have fortified their homes and businesses with more than a million sandbags. A million sandbags. As they batten the hatches in preparation for Alfred, the impending floods expected to affect 20,000 homes. That's just in Brisbane. With those hit in the 2022 disaster bracing for more heartbreak just 3 years later. I won't go through all the details, but the sandbagging stations, you would have seen the queues of cars. They were absolutely swamped. Just amazing. A metre of rain, though. Just trying to get your head around that. That's Thursday, that's today, tomorrow, and into the weekend. Look, I'll cut to the chase here because you know what happens when there's a crisis like this? Doesn't matter where it is. The call goes out to the SES and the cries come back, yes, I'm available. They're just remarkable. They're the heroes in our community. They really are. They're wonderful people, men and women. They give their time. They give their energy. They give the commitment. As soon as the call goes out, they rally to that call. So I would imagine there's a significant number of our locals up here in the far north either about to go or already gone down to the southeast corner to wherever. It could be the Queensland side of the border or the New South Wales side if they're needed. They rally to the call. They're amazing. I've just put a call through. Actually, I pressed the button for Wayne Coutts, but he wasn't around me. He might have already gone. Peter Rinaldo, always in those circumstances, though, answers the call. He's the State Emergency Service Community Engagement and Recruitment Officer, Far Northern Region SES. Peter, good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you going?
I'm well. I'm wondering how you're going and your heroes are going. What's the situation at the moment?
Yeah. Our heroes, as you said, they're down there now, and we're preparing for a few more. Also, we've contributed 170,000 sandbags to that 1 million.
Hell.
So that went down by truck a couple of days ago.
Hell.
So that's came out of our regional disaster store and was sent down. So hopefully, someone's getting to put those to good use. But we've sent three task forces already, John. So our first task force, so we were the first task force to deploy in the state, so Task Force Alpha. It consists of 38 volunteers from the Far North region.
Wow.
And real multitasked people, storm damage operators, working at heights operators, chainsaw operators, flood boat operators. So they're really multitasked, and they're in place at the moment in Brisbane, and they're being shuffled around to different locations as they're required to do whatever needs to be done at the moment to prepare places.
Boys and girls, men and women?
Yep. Brand new recruits some old heads, some that have done 10 deployments, so that's really good. They're supported by another task force Bravo, which is our incident management team to support them. So they look after all their operations and their logistics and their planning and make sure they're self-sufficient, more or less. And then the third group, Task Force Charlie, left by road a few days ago, and they were our RPAS operators, so our drone operators. So that's a team of six, highly mobile, heaps of drones on board, three vehicles to be able to do mapping, assessments for damage, information, intelligence gathering. Whenever it's not too windy and not too blowy, the drones will be in the air taking photos and things like that.
That's the first time I've ever heard that you had a mapping division, a drone division.
Big capability, exercised very, very heavily in the last lot, JASPER, through to Ingham and Townsville did a lot of mapping, a lot of damage assessment where they could get in. Mm. As you can imagine, they can fly over the top of flooded streets, so they, you know, they're not limited to that sort of operations, as long as they're some of the drones are waterproof, so they can fly in some sort of wind and rain. They don't like flying around near helicopters. That's one thing that doesn't like to be happened. But yeah, so a real multi-task force, three task force there, and we've got a request in at the moment for another task force potentially leaving on Saturday.
How many's in a task force again?
So normally what the receiving regions do is they say, these are the skills we need and this is what we'd like.
Okay.
At the moment, they put out a request to all three northern regions, so central, far north and northern, for 80 in total. So that'll be a big stretch for us because we've already got 40-odd down there. That'll be in specific skills like chainsaw operations or heights operations. Storm damage repairs and stuff like that. So that's out at the moment. So with names are tickling in at the moment. So just depends on Alfred when we can get in and be able to support them. But like I said, there's crews already on the ground, not just from us, but so a charter flight picked our guys up yesterday morning and then flew to Townsville and picked up more from the northern region. So they're all in place now and working.
Where do they stay, by the way? Are they billeted or are they stay in hotels or what do they do?
At the moment, these guys are staying in hotels.
Yeah.
Obviously, when things, sort of spin up like this, all the football's gone, so all the hotels get emptied pretty quickly. We can put them up in hotels. That's nice and compact sort of package because they can be fed. They've got, the ability to be securely housed, that sort of stuff, and it also generates business for the businesses. So that's a good thing. If we can't do that, or we've got too many, we then have to look at overflow alternatives where they might be. In the case of Ingham, where there was no accommodation, they were sleeping in a hall on stretcher beds and eating ration packs. So for 5 days, so that was a bit of a stretch for some of the volunteers, but a bit of an excitement for others.
Ration packs doesn't sound appetising.
I haven't had any, to be honest, John, but I believe they are much better now than what they used to be.
Don't go away. 170,000 sandbags, I'm presuming, empty. What a sandbag. What's the material they're made of?
So we have two types of sandbags. We have a synthetic sandbag that breaks down. So it's like it looks like a plastic, but it's not. But it breaks down in the environment. But one thing I've noticed looking at people on television, they love to fill up them sandbags, and that just makes them heavy. you normally fill them about a third full, and then fold the tail underneath, and then build your wall like a brick wall, that herringbone package. And in between each layer, we lay plastic. So we weave black plastic in and out of each layer, and that makes it waterproof.
There's an art filling a sandbag.
Yeah. I always say that this would be a good opportunity for all these pre-season training for some of these football teams to come out and fill 1,000 sandbags. There's definitely an art to the way we do it. And techniques to be able to use it to divert water or prevent water or still be able to open doors.
Okay.
But if you fill a sandbag with sand, it makes it very heavy.
Obviously.
Then once it's wet, it makes it even heavier. Mm. The other types of sandbags that we do have are Hessian sandbags. Now, they're very, very heavy. They're heavy when they're dry. They're heavy when they're wet. We tend to use a lot less of those these days the other ones, simply because to put them on a truck or a pallet of those, to put them on a truck or an aircraft makes it a lot of weight. So,
but back to the 170,000, I just took for granted they'd be empty.
Yes, they are.
Oh, they are. So who fills them down there? Do you have to leave someone else, or do your team have to do that as well?
We may be, depending on how we're tasked. We may be tasked to fill sandbags. We may be tasked to deliver sandbags and build walls for people, protect their properties and things like that. So there were about 1,000-odd jobs already in the system for the three different local government areas and regions at the moment where people have requested assistance to do it. Obviously, there's only so many SES to go around, so if we can do that for people that are unable to do that themselves, and you know, let the boys next door do that, look after themselves, that'd be great.
Did you see the queues of cars for the sandbags? I mean, the queue started at Toowoomba. I don't know.
3 hours or something they were waiting for.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Just unbelievable. And as you say, probably filling the bags too bloody much, three times more than they need anyway.
You can do at times, yeah. And that's just, you know, understandable. People are looking to protect their property. So, but, yeah, sometimes, yeah, more is not better because you can shape them a bit better and they can seal a bit better. But, yeah, definitely if you've got sandbags, it's the way to do it. And prepare your property.
Now, Pete, I've just got to make this point on behalf of the owners of businesses who say yes, go down, help them out, get on the plane now, and stay there as long as you need to. That's the sacrifice made by the employers as well, which tend to be overlooked to a certain extent. They could be away for a week, I suppose, couldn't they? Who knows?
Yeah. So our three task force, one's a what's known as a 141, so a day travel either end and 4 days on the ground, so 6 days. The other one is 151, so they're 7 days. And our RPAS team, our drones team, they're all staff, so at the moment they don't have an end date. they're on their way. Definitely we couldn't do this without our volunteers, employers, that give them that time. And it's particularly hard when, you know, it's a lot easier when something happens here, like Jasper, and they can see, oh, look, I'm letting, you know, John go because he's going to help Bill next door. So that's easy. But when there's a beautiful sunny day here and John comes in and says, oh, I want to have 7 days off to go down to Brisbane, it's a bit harder for them to do that. Yeah. And I can understand how that is. But we had 257 volunteers from throughout the state come and help us from Jasper. So it's only fitting that we go down and repay the favour.
Yeah.
Townsville had 700 volunteers from all over the country come and help them. So, you know, it's a big family, the SES, and, you know, what goes around comes around. So,
how many came up for Jasper?
257 from throughout the state.
Wow.
So that was just internal. We didn't have any interstate teams come in for Jasper. No. And that was all also supplemented by our local crews. And the peak of the flooding for Jasper, we did 350-odd floodboat rescues.
Remarkable, just remarkable.
Yeah, yeah. So hopefully we don't have to do that in Brisbane.
Yeah.
So our guys are down there now and happy to help the teams. And there's been a little bit of talk of, you know, sometimes on the media, oh, it's good that you're going down, you know how to do this better than they do. Well, they've been coming to us for a lot, so they know how to do it just as well.
Oh, it's a wonderful story. It's wonderful, wonderful story. So, look, I'm sure people hearing this, aren't we lucky to have them, and what a sacrifice. And also remembering the employers too who have to do without them for extended periods of time.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah. Good on you, Pete. We'll stay in touch. Thank you.
No worries, John. Any time, give us a call.
Peter Rinaldo. He's the SES Community Engagement and Recruitment Officer, Far Northern Region.